So the previous talk discussed backup storage. And to complete the story about protecting your data, customers want to make an off-site copy to protect against site disasters such as earthquakes, fires, or even a localized alien invasion. The older way to make these off-site copies was to ship tapes. There's obvious concerns in terms of verification and privacy of the data. The preferred technique is to transfer replicated data across the wide area network. But in many cases, the network can become the bottleneck during replication. And this happens for many reasons. It happens in remote areas when the data exists on an oil platform or a ship. It even happens in small branch offices where network availability may be low or higher network speeds may be cost prohibitive. And in fact, 80% of our customers replicate most of their data. So it's very important to focus on replication speed. Anything we can do to compress the data before transfer will help. And obviously it makes sense to deduplicate the data and apply local compression such as gzip before transmission, especially between deduplicated storage systems such as our own. We found a technique to improve compression even more. We have a stream-informed caching technique using delta compression. We compress relative to similar chunks stored on the system and achieve an additional 2x compression beyond deduplication and local compression. So I want to dive into an example of combining deduplication and delta compression. So a chunk enters our system, and we'll calculate a fingerprint across the chunk. This could be a SHA-1 hash value, for example, marked in red. And then we want to calculate what we call a sketch, and this is previous work by Broder and other people. So we calculate a feature value at rolling positions across the chunk. We're going to keep track of the maximal values. In this case, we keep the four maximal values we've seen. And then we're going to calculate a hash over those four values, and we call this a super feature. Sometimes it's also called a super fingerprint. And then our sketch could be one or more super features. The example here has four features per super feature, and you could have more, you could retain more maximal values to create more super features. So now we have our sketch, which again is just a numeric value representing the chunk. All right, so now another chunk enters the system, and again we calculate a fingerprint across it. And in this case, this chunk is an exact duplicate of the earlier chunk. The fingerprint is a match, so we could just transfer the fingerprint during replication. All right, so now we see a third chunk that's similar to the earlier chunk, but there are some regions of difference marked in red. So again, the first step is to calculate a fingerprint. In this case, it's blue, and it's not a match to the earlier fingerprint. So we're going to go ahead and calculate our sketch. And in this case, we have the exact same four maximal values because those regions were not modified relative to the earlier version of the chunk. So our sketch is an exact match to the earlier sketch. So this is how we find a similar chunk in the storage system as a sketch match. So then for replication, what we'll do is we'll transfer the fingerprint of the original chunk, that's our base chunk used for delta compression, and we'll transfer the different bytes across the network. So now that we have these sketches that we use for similarity detection, how do we index them? And this is the key problem that we investigate in this paper. So the simplest idea, the first thing you might try to do is build a full index, right? That makes sense. It's just a big hash table with sketches. So how big does this index need to be? So for a 256 terabyte system with 8 kilobyte average size chunks and a sketch record, including a reference to the actual chunk, let's just say it's 16 bytes, this will lead to a half terabyte index. And this is for a single super feature. I mentioned earlier that you might actually have multiple super features in your sketch. So your index would have to be 1 or even 2 terabytes in size. And it's not really the storage that's the problem for this index, it's all the I/O involved with it. To query the sketch index, you have to perform random IOs to the index. Sketches are random values, and there's no particular locality between one sketch and the next. And also, I want to point out there are difficulties in updating the index. As chunks are added to the system or deleted, you have to update this new sketch index structure. But there is an advantage of the index, I want to point out, that you can find all similarity matches because you have a complete index. Now let's consider a potential improvement to the simple baseline idea. Maybe we can get away with a partial index. This would be some sort of cache, maybe in memory, and we would just load and evict sketches with some LRU policy, for example. It doesn't need to be persistent, so we don't have to worry about long-term updates. But the question is, how big would a partial index need to be to give us effective compression? So we performed an experiment to evaluate this. We had 5 data sets, and for this experiment, we used 2 weeks of backups. The vertical axis is the amount of compression we achieved on a normalized scale, and the horizontal axis is the size of our partial index. 1.0 means we are keeping the first week in our partial index, and 2.0 means we're keeping both weeks in our partial index. You can see the compression starts off low and grows slowly as the index size grows, and then jumps dramatically right at the 1 week boundary. This suggests that the partial index would have to include the whole week of backups to be effective. And in practice, that week of backups corresponds to a whole primary storage system, which could be tens or hundreds of terabytes in size. So the partial index really has to be almost as big as the full index, so it's really not an advantage. So our actual contribution is a stream-informed cache for similarity detection. We experimentally showed that delta locality closely matches deduplication locality, and we can use previous work in deduplication storage and caching. Deduplicated storage already has a fingerprint index system that we can piggyback on to load our cache effectively. And in experiments, we've shown that the extra memory we need for the sketches is rather modest. And as compared to a full index, we can actually find a large fraction of the possible similarity matches with a small cache. So I want to go through an example of what does stream-informed locality really mean. So here's a full backup entering the system, and there's a chunk labeled A as a fingerprint and a sketch, and another chunk B, fingerprint and sketch, and C. And now we're going to create a container, and our containers are actually 4.5 megabytes in size. And this is container one, holding all this metadata related to chunks that enter the system at the same time. So they're written out together in a container based on their stream properties. And now we see some more data, chunk D, E, and F, and we create a second container. These were all written into the system sequentially and are stored together in a container. And we're going to store these containers to disk as our cache needs to be flushed. And sometime later, perhaps it's a week later, another full backup happens. And again, we see chunk A. We calculate the fingerprint for chunk A, and we're going to load the container holding that fingerprint into our cache. And we bring all of the metadata, all of the fingerprints and sketches from that container in simultaneously. And so A is a duplicate, B is a duplicate, and C. And then we get chunk D, and again, we calculate a fingerprint, and we load container 2, holding all of the metadata for the chunks written at the same time as chunk D into our cache. D is a duplicate. Now we see chunk E prime, which is similar to chunk E, but it has a small modification, perhaps. And we calculate a sketch, and it's a sketch match, not a duplicate, but it is similar to the earlier version of E. So we could use this as our similarity detection system. So this is what we mean when we say that delta locality closely corresponds to deduplication locality. And we have chunk F as well. So I want to go through the basic replication protocol for deduplicated storage before we add on delta compression. So at the remote office, we have 3 chunks, Ada, Bob, and Carol. At the central office, we just have Ada. So we're going to send the fingerprints for those 3 chunks across the network. And Ada is a duplicate. And so we get a response back saying we don't have the fingerprints for Bob and Carol. We need that data. And then we're going to actually send the missing chunks across the network. So let's add on the delta phase now to replication. And there are some alternative protocols discussed in the paper. This is the version we actually implemented. So at the remote office again, we have some chunks, and we're going to add on 2 more for this example, Dan and Adam. So again, we send all the fingerprints across to the central office, and Ada, Bob, and Carol are duplicates. So we send back the fingerprints for the missing chunks. So now we add the delta phase. We're going to send sketches across for Dan and Adam. And at the central office, we're going to look up in our sketch cache, and Dan doesn't match anything, but Adam is pretty similar to Ada. And so we get back a response saying, you know, Dan has no matches, and Adam is similar to Ada. So from the remote office, now we're going to transfer Dan, the full chunk for Dan, and for Adam, we're going to send a reference to Ada as well as the extra bytes needed to reconstruct Adam. And so the way we do this is we read back Ada from disk, and we compute the delta, the difference from Adam to Ada, and then send that across to the central office. And I want to emphasize that the central office, we're not going to store the delta chunks. The delta compression only exists across the network, and at the central office, we're going to decode, reconstruct Atom. So we do that by reading back ADA from disk, reconstructing Atom, and then storing these two chunks at the central office. So there are some interesting properties of stream-informed delta compression. We're able to entirely eliminate the on-disk sketch index. And relative to having a full index, we're able to improve performance. We don't have to do this random I/O to an on-disk index. And experimentally, we show we only need a small memory footprint for sketches in a cache. And importantly, the reason we're doing this is we get extra compression. That's why it's a win. When the network is the bottleneck, and the extra compression we can get is a win for our customers. It allows them to protect more data. There also are some cons to be considered, and we experimentally evaluate these. Our delta compression entirely depends on stream locality and caching to find similar chunks. I want to emphasize that if there is some similar chunk in our storage system but it's not in our cache, we can't find it. We don't have a full index, so we have to just give up and send the chunk across. And there are overheads to our system. We have to perform read I/O to read back these base chunks, and there's computation involved in calculating deltas on both sides. So there are five data sets we use in our experiments. They vary in size from 4.5 terabytes up to 13 terabytes in size, and they represent multiple months of backups. And I want to emphasize that these data sets are different than the ones presented in the earlier paper. So here's the first example about where do we get our compression from. So the vertical axis is normalized compression. 1.0 is the maximum compression we're going to see in this experiment. And then we ran the experiment twice. On the right side is our stream-informed cache, and this was performed on real hardware in our lab performing replication. And on the left is a simulator with a full index. So we simulated a full index system in a standalone program. And I should say that our cache was sized to 12 megabytes. There's an experiment in the paper where we vary the cache size, and we show that a very modest cache of 12 megabytes is highly effective at finding similarity matches. So this is for the workstations data set. So the bottom section, shown in red, is how much compression we're getting from deduplication. The section in blue shows how much extra compression we're getting with one super feature in our sketch. And you can see that having the index gives you more compression than the sketch cache, but we're within 14%, which is reasonable considering the advantages of using a cache relative to a full index. Then we can add on a second super feature. And again, the index is adding more compression than the cache, but we're doing pretty well. And I want to emphasize that two super features in a cache gives us more compression, more extra delta compression, than one super feature with a full index. You know, it might make sense to have a full index with one super feature, but to have multiple on-disk indexes, it's probably not really practical, whereas we can add more super features in our cache and get extra compression than the index alternative. We then add a third super feature, and we're seeing diminishing returns by adding more super features, and a fourth super feature. You may notice that for our stream-informed cache, adding a fourth super feature did not improve our overall delta compression. That's because we held our cache size constant at 12 megabytes. So as we increase the number of super features per sketch, they take up more memory, and we can hold fewer chunks in our cache. And that's why we're not getting the extra improvement. We'd have to increase our cache size to get the extra potential benefits, more super features. So we repeated this for all of the data sets. And I want to emphasize that the properties remain the same. These properties that one super feature with a cache is within 14% of using a full index. And using two super features in a cache gives us better delta compression than an index with one super feature. There are two anomalies I do want to point out, though. Looking at the deduplication with the cache versus the index, they ought to be identical, right? But they are slightly off. We had different implementations between the real hardware, the real system, and our standalone simulator. But the deduplication rates were very close. Another anomaly that's more interesting is that we actually got better delta compression with our cache than the full index. How is that possible? The index has everything. The cache is some limited subset. So we dug into this issue a bit more. We found that for this data set, we actually had a huge number of similarity matches with the index. We had tens of thousands in many cases. And with the index, we had to have some tie-breaking strategy, so we chose the most recently written base chunk. And that did not give us as good delta compression on the chunks than using a chunk in the cache. The cache had better locality properties in terms of actual similarity matches. So unintuitive result. So I want to put up a table of all of our compression numbers. So we have our data sets, we have our deduplication values between 5 and 58. The next two columns, I really want to dig into a bit more. So after deduplication, of course, you could apply local compression, such as gzip. Or alternatively, you could use delta compression in combination with gzip. So those are the two options. You have to choose one. And for our customers, when we talk about total compression across the network, it's the combination of deduplication and one of these two columns. It's the multiplication of those two values. So to look at how much extra delta gives us beyond gzip as a baseline, we would divide the delta with gzip column by the gzip column to get the delta improvement column, which varies from 1.8 to over 3x improvement beyond the alternative of deduplication with gzip. And this is why we tend to say we get a 2x improvement. And extra compression directly results in better network throughput. We ran an experiment with a T3 throttle, 44 megabits per second. Time is along the horizontal axis, the vertical axis is megabits per second in a log scale. And in blue, you see the actual network throughput, which is always less than our throttle. And in blue, you see, in red, you see the actual effective throughput when you take into account the compression multipliers. And it's 1 to 2 orders of magnitude higher. So there are some overheads and limitations to consider for this technique. So storing the sketches in the system takes up some extra storage space, about 20 bytes per non-duplicate chunk stored in the system. This is rather modest compared to our 8 kilobyte average size chunk. And does require I/O and computation on the source and destination. As data enters our system, we calculate sketches, and there's a 20% slowdown on writes, but this only affects non-duplicate chunks. So during the first week, there is some slowdown, but after the first week, most of the data is duplicate, and the measured impact of sketching is rather modest. So we performed an experiment measuring utilization of CPU and disk during replication. So again, this was a real replicating experiment between systems in our lab. We used between 1 and 12 source systems replicating to a single destination machine that was a medium-sized server with a single shelf of hard drives. At the source side, I should point out we had a T1 throttle for this experiment. On the source side, the amount of CPU and disk utilized was around 1 to 2%, very modest. At the destination side, we start at around 1 to 2%, and it grows linearly up to 12 systems. And this suggests that our technique could scale for this medium-sized server to dozens of simultaneous replicating data sets. Another issue to consider is that we have a single sketch cache. And as multiple data sets reach the same destination machine, they're all sharing that cache. And it's possible a similarity match will get evicted before it can be used. We performed an experiment described a bit more in the paper. We had a system sized to handle 20 streams, and we actually tried replicating 25 data sets at the same time, and we measured how much delta compression we got relative to a single data set at a time. And there was a loss of 0 to 12% relative to the baseline. And with 50 streams, the compression loss was between 0 and 27%. But I should point out that although I say it's a loss, it's still extra delta compression beyond what you could get with simply deduplication and gzip compression. And I want to point out that this is a feature of the data domain system, and it's been available to customers since 2009. So these are measurements from actual customers in the field, hundreds of actual customers. The horizontal axis is the amount of delta compression beyond deduplication, and we're showing a histogram of our customers. And the green line is a cumulative distribution function. So our median customer is achieving 2x extra compression from delta. And I want to point out that these are real results from customers. We don't know what they're doing with their box. They're replicating multiple data sets, they're performing reads and writes simultaneously, the data is being churned up, and so it's promising that in the field we're actually getting good 2x results. So there's a great deal of related work, and I'll just direct you to the paper for that. I do want to point out that previous work in general assumed either file versioning, which we don't assume because of similarity detection, or they assumed that the sketch index could fit entirely in memory, whereas we've eliminated that requirement with our caching technique. And so in conclusion, we've shown experimentally that delta locality closely matches deduplication locality for backup data sets. And there's good scalability because of our stream-informed delta compression. It's effective with a very small cache, 12 megabytes in size. And the CPU and I/O utilization are reasonable for the amount of extra compression we're getting across the network. And the product is available and allows customers to protect twice as much data than would otherwise be possible, or protect it twice as fast than they otherwise could. Open for questions.
Hi, Christian Guerno from NEC Labs. I got the impression that from the compression numbers, you get up to 3.1 times less data transfer, but the throughput was several orders of magnitude. How come?
You're saying the extra delta was 3x, from the numbers, but the...
In the best case, you are transferring a third of the data without the technique, right? So I'd expect that the throughput improves by a similar amount, not more than that.
That's true. I mean, there are many data sets, and so you're saying we should be able to get three times faster for that particular data set?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, the performance did vary with the amount of delta compression, certainly. Yes.
Thank you, speaker. Okay.